On the show today, we have eSentire's Elvin Spingerhoff talking about why credit unions are a growing target for cybersecurity attacks. So check it out. So what's going on here? Why are credit unions such a growing threat to these cybersecurity attacks today?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that are sort of in confluence. I think one thing is that, credit unions are sort of a classic example of small company with big company problems.
Yeah,
you're on the retail side, you have all the same sort of customer facing pieces that large retail banks would have, but you're not backed up with the same kind of bankroll, staff size, and so on. But mm-hmm. you still have to deal with people's keeping people's personal information secure. You are just as maybe even more so susceptible to problems with attacks against your reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And the second piece, that especially in the last couple of years, the regulators have been really starting to pound down on it. There's fear that if there's belief that the financial stability of the world itself is could be threatened by attacks against financial services. And credit unions are one that, if you feel that you don't have the resources that larger retail establishments do, that's a softer target to go mm-hmm. after.
Yeah, I think the fraudsters are always looking for the path of least resistance. Is that kind of the right saying there?
Sure.
Sometimes the smaller credit unions are the end result of that path of least resistance. So,
absolutely. And it's not that they don't stop going after larger organizations as well. It's just such a wide swath. And the effort it takes to attack any single entity isn't terribly difficult. So you could do it thousands and thousands of times an hour with very little, with possibly large impact on the receiving end, mm-hmm. not very much for the attacker to do.
It sounds like it's a numbers game for them, because they just keep trying and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, and then eventually it's an exercise in persistence.
Absolutely.
And then
absolutely.
You get through, like, hey, all right, after.
Yeah. And I think we've been in eSentire for 16 years. If I go back, 15, 16 years, if you wanted to create malware attacks, you had to be a programmer, you had to be a coder.
Mm-hmm.
You had to understand the internals of the systems you were going to attack.
Right.
Now, you can go on the dark web through Tor, the anonymous anonymizers, and you can buy malware as a service.
Gosh.
So something like equivalent to sort of 50 euro in Bitcoin a month, they will make you your own custom malware. They'll vet it through antivirus.
What?
Yeah. And so they'll get you. You can say, this is the category of emails I want to send it to, and they'll give you email addresses. They will help the people you attack to set up Bitcoin accounts if they need to, for ransomware, if they need to pay ransoms. They have customer support if they're having problems.
Oh my God.
It is I'm not kidding.
Are there Yelp reviews for these type of things? Like, the customer service on that
not quite, but at the end of the transaction, they do send how well were you? Because they want to build, they're building a business themselves.
I know. Right? I hate to laugh at that. I mean, because it's serious business. But my gosh, there's a little bit of humor in that as well. I mean, it's
black comedy.
Yeah,
definitely.
There you go. That's it. Oh my goodness.
And especially if you're looking at if they live in domiciles where there's no extradition, they can operate these schemes with impunity.
Oh, I can imagine. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's just, there's no leashes. There's no governance. Nothing. So how did this situation, getting back to the credit union perspective, how did this situation happen for credit unions? Is it just because, like what you said before, they're kind of, these small organizations acting like big companies, or that type of scenario, or is there more to it than that?
No, that's basically it. The attackers would go through groups like LinkedIn, and they'd start establishing, to say, I'm going to this vertical, and get people's names, start building up sort of a database of who they reach out to, mm-hmm. who they start probing, and they can go through you know, just not just LinkedIn, but other social media, trying to get information and build up, you know, this person works with this person and this, you know, this is the CFO, this is the comptroller or whatever it takes, and start building up an attack scheme. Who would you, you know, and just start grinding and grinding at, mm-hmm. at them. And you know, it's very successful. The two biggest attacks that we've seen would be, you know, ransomware, definitely.
Yeah.
And then sort of business email compromise, where they're trying to pretend to, you know, get you to wire mm-hmm. funds from one to another.
So is there, do you have any suggestions for what credit unions can do in the meantime, as you know, as they're trying to build their defenses? Is there something else that they can do in the meantime to kind of keep these attacks at bay?
Well, you know, it's not a, there's no red button. There's no magic button.
There's no easy button.
No easy button. You know, the NCUA has put out some papers to, you know, sort of risk alert pieces to say, this is what we expect you to be doing. And that's, you know, the good thing is you're defending from a compliance perspective, but it does help the actual defense piece as well. It's not complete. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it really, you know, like I said, the last couple of years especially, there's been a great focus on this. And it takes so much more than just one aspect of it. So, you know, it's not just technical. We have pieces, you know, you have to train people. You have to constantly be watching for attacks. Mm-hmm. You have to assume that the systems that you put in place are going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, and have plans to deal with that in, you know, in the heat of battle as things are going on.
Yeah.
So it's, and you know, it is, you know, I look at it as sort of like something like dentistry. So, you know, we're supposed to brush our teeth at least 2 times a day,
yeah.
And floss, mm-hmm. and you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, we don't go to the dentist on a regular basis, right? So there's, you know, but it's an everyday thing. It's, you need to, you know, make sure your passwords are kept up to date and your external access is limited, and watch for inappropriate behavior, you know, from one account to another account, mm-hmm. and, you know, making sure that if somebody gets attacked on the inside, that there's segregation, that the spread is limited.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's a good point.
It goes on and on, but it's not a set it up once and forget it.
Right.
It's an ongoing, you know, process. You can't just, you know, have a policy, you put it up on the the shelf.
Yeah, the cafeteria shelf, and like expect it to be
exactly.
followed. Right.
Exactly.
I love your dentist analogy. I think that's perfect, because it's, you have to perform your due diligence on a daily basis to keep all this stuff, keep it somewhat, you know, squashed down. because that leads me into my next question. It's like, will we ever reach a comfort zone when it comes to cybersecurity, or will always be kind of like this one step ahead race with these folks?
I know it's kind of a
crystal ball type of question, but I always kind of wonder this when I'm driving around. It's like, gosh, will we ever be comfortable, or is it always going to be these people trying to break down our door?
You know, there's how you relax and accept that bad things are going to keep happening. So it's you know, I think the important thing is not to be caught by the headlines that are alarmist, mm-hmm. and recognize that there's always been threats. They're just more acute now. They're better publicized,
yeah.
And that you have to, you know, keep, you know, a daily sort of ritual of maintaining that vigilance.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right, Elton, any other advice for credit unions to wrap up here? Because, I mean, this is a topic that we could talk about for hours.
Absolutely.
And I have, you know, especially in my brain. But it's so fascinating talking to folks like you. What's going on out there? And you guys are, like, on the front lines. You're on the dark web dealing with this yep. type of stuff. It's so fascinating. So any other advice from you for credit unions out there to kind of keep these people at arm's reach?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the biggest things I think that I've seen in write-ups recently is, you know, that you make sure that, you know, if you have an instant response plan, for example, because something bad will happen,
mm-hmm.
and you keep that up to date, and you don't, every quarter or so, you reevaluate the attacks that are going on, how, you know, if you're forced to use the incident response plan, that you walk through it and say, mm-hmm. what didn't work,
mm-hmm.
what worked, Do we have new staff members that bring skills that we didn't have before?
Yeah.
Make sure your vendors are again, that information is up to date. If you have sort of third party vendors that may be responsible for data or access, mm-hmm. Just making sure that the response stays up to date.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest piece.
Having a plan is important. And sticking to it and actually executing that plan, like you said, on a quarterly basis is a really good idea, not just kind of like once a year type of thing. You kind of dust off the manual and go, hey, let's try this again.
Yeah.
Today, exactly. I see it, you know, coming to like, you know, maybe doing this every month or every other week or something like that. Or like you said, you know, kind of like the dentist analogy that you used again. So like, this is a daily process. This is something you got to do on a daily basis now. And this is our new normal.
Yep. And it's not that, you know, nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
It's just part of, you know, if you're going to be online, if you're going to have a presence on the internet, this is, you know, you need to be this tall to take this ride. It's just the cost of joining the internet.
Indeed. Well, great message to end on, Eldon. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here for a few minutes and giving us a quick little education on what we can do to keep these folks on the other side of the brick wall. All right.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Eldon. Appreciate the time.